Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
structure of knowledge, or the evolution of how we've put knowledge and philosophy in, right from the, I suppose, ancient Greeks and actually going back into the Babylonian, from the dawn of time up to our present time. And there's some observations as I'm putting it together. You can obviously hear that I'm driving at the moment. I'm driving from taking my son to a rock climbing party, coming back, pick up the presents, and then go back and pick him up again. So you'll hear this podcast. Now, what I'm looking at is this topic, and it's probably a sign that it's a hard topic to talk about, because we're so absolutely sure that we have got the peak of technology, we've got the peak of understanding, and everything's optimized such that the way that you get heard or thought, how you develop thoughts, is you get within an organization, you get to the peak of the organization and get to that sort of mouthpiece of the organization. So if you're a scientist, you publish, you're a philosopher, an author, you become famous, you become a celebrity, or you get through government. There are these various positions within society where when you speak, a lot of people listen to you. And also in social media, we're doing it. This is an entire one. You can hear this bloody motorcycle beside me talking about. And so if you look at our present time, you've got celebrities, people who are shock jocks on radio who can speak a lot, people who've got articles, powerful people, politicians. There's a certain people who speak, and then there's a whole lot of other people who can't speak, who are the silent people, who speak at least through their voting, but it's all rather silent. And there's not a lot of happy people when you look at it. There's a lot of right-wing people who get Brexit and various things like that. You can imagine me trying to speak with this bloody thing beside me. You can imagine that person sitting on that cycle all the time with that noise the entire time. It's obviously a poorly tuned motorcycle making that noise. But given that you've do have the also physical requirements of having silence and medium to write. Now, that's what's happening at this present time, and if you apply the thinking, the structure, the current archaeology of the way that you think to present times, you get absurdities. So one of the things is that as you go back in time, you have to say, look, people, different people were in power, different people thought different things, and they had different ways of expressing it. Now, we'll go back to Parmenides. Okay, I've just got to make sure that I don't get killed in this big roundabout. There's nothing happening in Australia up at this intersection. There's cars to boot. There's sort of no sporting. There's no reason for everybody to be out doing all these things at the point in time. So look, getting back to the point that I'm making is that there's a way that we feel or edit who can speak, who we listen to, based on a series of cultural factors. And this seems all okay until you start doing a process of going, I'm pulled up next to this car. Can you hear me again? I'm just driven up next to this person, this motorcycle, which is interfering with my train of thought and also being able to speak with you. But if you go through the process of, let's look at the fundamentals of how we think at the moment. Go back philosopher by philosopher, like going, you're at a point in a brick wall and you chase everything down to the foundations. And you go along and you say, oh, these people are speaking amongst themselves, philosophies are speaking around themselves, and a lot of the things are very difficult to translate. People hold, of course, theories of Plato very high, ancient Greeks very high, blah, 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 blah. But they don't actually say, well, what do they actually do? They actually wrote poems and screenplays for things. They did that. Oh, I don't like it. But at the time, they had to do that because Society wasn't developed, there wasn't a communication system, things weren't written down. There's a whole series. So our birth is a series of evolving things. And one of the things that you could say is that people are absolutely convinced at that time that, the overall view, you've got a bloody thing coming up against me. You can hear the amount of traffic. This is how slow. I've barely travelled 3 kilometres an hour. All the next to it. I don't know if you can hear that, but that motorcycle is going down. Okay, so we have evolved, and most people think that the way, or the average person in the street thinks, the way that they're thinking is 100% up to scratch. You know, what are you looking at? Nothing to see here. Move along here now. But in general, when you actually look at the philosophers, one of the things is that they don't really question too much that you've got a bad way to think. But they're saying, oh, this is a new philosophy. Perhaps this is a little bit better or something like that. So Parmenides says the way that we think at the moment is just inadequate. Yet there is an immortal way, a God way of thinking, which is out there. And there's just various people who look at structures of thinking. You look at Christian religion, fundamental things of philosophy is that there is a better way of approaching life, and in some cases God's involved, there's a supernatural way of thinking better, and that was very much in Parmenides' belief. This is a philosopher who's pre-Plato, somewhere between Pythagoras, or just after Pythagoras, getting onto our modern philosophies, and he strikes philosophy is in that there is this other way, a perfect way of thinking. We have got a poor model of it now. But that being said, here's a little step we could improve there. Now, this is sort of a fundamental model, I suppose, of limited thinking. That has not gone away. People think there's people who think that religious or sub-religious institutions have the full way of thinking, they have the full understanding, and that somehow, I mean, ideally that you can do this, I think in the worst case, you could do this pedophilia, this horrible crime. You go up to a priest, and you could relate to the priest exactly what you've done, or not quite, a sort of a limited story, and the way that you account it is that there's a certain amount of information going across, and you can be forgiven for doing it. You can actually, the actual supernatural thought can actually change what's in society, how things are processed. This is a sort of fundamental thing. Now, in government, here we are putting all our efforts to try and steer this massive communal thought system called the government of communal thought. I put a huge amount of effort into it, and it does, we have an agreed system that they can make up laws and actually change the way that we think things. But this, so really we haven't progressed very, very far in our overall thinking. We are culturally limited by what we think. I wish I can do it in terms of the idea. If you have an idea and you want to change things, you have to go up to a government, convince them, and then they will apply funding and laws and stuff, and eventually what you believe will come to be accepted. If it's not, tough luck. And this is very much the similar thing that these ancient Greeks were doing. They were looking at religion and proposing interpretations of it such that it would be accepted and come out. And one of the very interesting things is that these philosophers wound up being political philosophers as well. So there's philosophy, political philosophy comes together, and social philosophy all comes together. And It's really rather hard to see them. But I really do think that there is an evolution in what we call community of understanding, what I call community of understanding. There's a sophisticated nuance theme to say that philosophy has many, many goals, and sort of a top goal is to inform the sort of top intellect, the global intellect of a society, and get a global change. You can then infer that my thinking has to be consistent with the global thinking. Therefore, if I think outside the global paradigm, I can wipe it out. I think there is an advantage of having servants of a society believe that, because they have got the minimum amount of philosophy or belief system to act and behave as required. And sort of that's sort of a circular way of thinking. Why do you believe it? Well, I believe these set of beliefs because it's so restricted, I will behave and act as required. And one of the things of behaving and acting as required is that you behave and act as required. This is a circular, closed down thing. So there's an overall, I suppose, meta view about your thoughts and whether your system of thinking is such that it has got sort of like this virus which contracts the level at which you can think. Now, for me, I've not necessarily had an epiphany or a... So I'm just turning around here, checking this. I am driving while I do have an obligation I've got an obligation for safety, I've got an obligation for rehab to get my cognitive skills up. So they come up first, unfortunately. But so just following this line of argument, in that we can actually look at philosophies, and look at philosophies have got many, many purposes, and because they have many, many purposes, the philosophy becomes fit for purpose. I have a way of understanding or a way of talking about things which actually restrict what's going on. And you can pretty well get people running a chain of behaviour which leads to them crazy things and eventually killing themselves, wiping themselves out. So a lot of civilizations, they collapse now previously. And it's not to suggest that this civilization we're living in at the moment is on the verge of collapse. It's just that the rationality of doing things to avoid collapse means that you behave in certain ways. So I've just got to get enough speed to go up here. So let us look at, say, these civilizations in Laos, in Cambodia, in South America, which have just no internal invasion particularly, but people are looking at climate change. But then they also look at the systems of beliefs they had, which meant that it eventually led to achieving order, short-term order, at the expense of long-term demise. And so you go through the jungles and you come across these temples. And the temples are obviously a symbol of knowledge. It's had importance, absolutely essential importance in the structure of the healers that can't be going way above the speed limit. This person's a real cruiser. I hope he gets knocked down. So similarly here, one could not say is surely if I look at something and it's dysfunctional, and but people think it's got a purpose, surely that is what I'm looking at. If that was lost, archaeologists would come in for a long time later and say, oh, what is this institution and what are these people looking at? And it's because the people at the time have an inability, or are actually are cultivating the land, they're cultivating the animals, and they're also self-cultivating and limiting what they can do. So essentially, if you have a crop which is only one variety of grain, for instance, that grain, or potato, for instance, nature says that things will come in and there will not be enough diversity to move forward. Now, my overall idea at the moment is that we have a philosophy of avoiding catastrophe, of global ideas, yet the philosophical understanding has got very nuanced and operates within certain regions for certain purposes, and we're sort of not managing that different degrees of understanding. So my sort of key thing that I've seen is understanding management done for nefarious purposes, done for quality control, and at the end of the day, the people who need understanding to exist within their trajectory, it all gets dried up. You have a certain amount of understanding and communication that you need, and you have these factors which work against you, and you have this sort of understanding cultivation with systems which operate, which gives you an authorization to do, I don't know, various things, sort of limit various things. I wish I know exactly what I'm saying. I haven't communicated it very well, but I can I suppose one of the things that you can ask is, for any philosophy, you can say, I don't know whether it is theoretically possible to actually encapsulate a philosophy, but you can ask, what is the consequence of it? I think the consequence of this new metaphysical, nuanced philosophy which says, looks at the global philosophy, looks at the situation, can't process it because it's actually in use. Like, you can't diagnose a circuit without pulling it out and stopping it operating. Like, you can't just, well, it's very difficult to get a computer and actually analyze it while it's actually been used. It's sort of like a very complex system. That's what I want to do at the moment. And the end consequence is that there are these strategies which you can put in place which won't trigger a viral response of people trying to shut you down, but will slowly develop pathways or understandings, an architecture of understanding with which people can operate within. And this, I think, is true for all philosophies, that once philosophy gets up and doing, we innately start producing concepts which enable it to go forward. Now, one of the things I'm going to finish on this one is a quote from Voltaire, saying that those who would have you believe in absurdities are those who would make you make atrocities or do atrocities. And from the opposite of it here, I think that is true, but it means that if you see something wrong, you can therefore go back to see an absurdity, the absurdity, and then you can unplug it that way. This is a way, rather than actually going in from the top and trying to debate across the philosophy, you can start to debate, to look at something which is wrong, something which is absurd, and question it. Sort of break it apart there. That's one thing. And also create a structure, an understanding of a non-global philosophy, a localized philosophy, which is at many levels to operate to get a complex idea across, which is not available under a global philosophy system. Thanks a lot. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. How you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.